What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
While I do cover all of the weekly news every Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on the podcast, even I can't cover everything with the ACG team. And that's what these news videos are to do, is catch up on a little bit of stuff that happened, not only in the week prior, but also in the weekend prior. Let's discuss flying cars, flying dragons, and new games that are a-coming. The first thing I want to talk about, Dragon's Dogma. Dragon's Dogma, you may think, why are we talking about such an old game? Dragon's Dogma recently hit 6.5 thousand players playing it live, the highest numbers since around 2016. Of course, this is hot on the heels of a sale, as well as Dragon's Dogma 2 being announced at the Capcom event last week, which I've already discussed a little bit. Dragon's Dogma hit those high numbers for the first time in years. We all know that most of this is just people trying to figure out how to make the hottest, coolest pawns ever in the preparation for the sequel. But it's awesome to show just how successful this game can be, how quickly the game can jump up in sales. Importantly, this game has been released on pretty much every single system. The future's bright that Dragon's Dogma 2 will see the exact same release. While we didn't get much information on what the new game will have, the hope is a robust and improved pawn creation system, perhaps two-player or four-player co-op, something that was missing from the original game, but doesn't seem to stop people from jumping into it right now. It'd also be pretty nice if you could calm down the pawns just a little bit from the ever-loving chaos smashers that you would get back whenever you leased them out to one of your box-hating friends who trained them up and they showed up back at your doorstep smashing the crap out of everything. The pawn system in Dragon's Dogma, the way it displayed and gave you that feeling of power as well as flexibility, you jump on the back of a dragon and suddenly you're flying above the game world. The game was ahead of its time, and it will be very cool to see if Dragon's Dogma 2 does the same. But here I am celebrating Dragon's Dogma 1, doing great, bunch of people jumping back into it. If you haven't got a chance to check it out, now might actually be the time. Also, if you get a chance, check out the websites that show how to build all sorts of characters in the Dragon's Dogma pawn creation system. You've got everything from Denny and Alan Shore in Boston Legal to Nick Cage and John Travolta teaming it up from the movie Face Off. I can't wait to see this. I hope to see a robust character creator as well as an increased pawn creation system. And, you know, like I said, the ability to maybe calm them down just a little bit. But speaking of calm, it's one thing I cannot be. As I see this mod, this was exciting to me. Modders continue to take Cyberpunk 2077 and turn it into something far closer to what everybody was sort of expecting from CD Projekt Red. And this week, we got one step closer. Jack Hubert released a mod for flying vehicles. That is right. And this week, you get to see that. If you go and you want to download this on GitHub, it adds flying cars to the game. Now, YouTuber Last Known Meal, make sure to subscribe to him. He did a full run-through of the mod. We also saw Jack Humbert himself posting something on his channel. You can see it. This shows off flying vehicles in the game. While it is on GitHub and it does have a lot of bugs, the one thing that you can take away from this is just what modders have been able to do with this game without true mod tools, something we've seen with a lot of titles, but something that I think has in particular improved Cyberpunk 2077. And flying cars is something that we did see in the game, but the player didn't get to control them. And here, you're able to. Now, Digital Dreams, who has their own website as well as Patreon, where they do graphics work on different games, something I've been a patron of theirs for years, they also show just how far the mod opens up the game on a higher-end system as well as graphical texture work and some other mods. What we see here, flyable cars, the ability to really turn Cyberpunk 2077 into that game that's closer to Blade Runner, or just, well, closer to Cyberpunk 2077. It looks phenomenal, and that is something that I'm going to jump in and play right away. The ability for you to really open up the verticality in the game, something that never felt exactly stretched out as much as we would like, is done with this mod. Jack's continuing to work on it, and I can't wait. I'm crossing my fingers. I'll continue to cover this, not only in further news if they update it, but as well as the podcast. Speaking of updates, let's talk just a second about a couple games coming to the various different free systems that we've got out there for people to subscribe to or people to stream. I want to talk about Shadowrun to Game Pass here soon. So releasing today, Shadowrun Trilogy Console Edition is every game in the Shadowrun Trilogy. It's upscaled to 4K display, added in controller movement, and changing the camera a bit, or allowing for that change to play better on consoles. Each game extends across that Shadowrun world. You got magic, cyberpunk, with true RPG choice-driven gaming, something that the cyberpunk games were lauded for even back then, and something we don't see a lot of RPGs still nail even now. You have various ways to get through almost every single mission of the game. And from Harebrained, this is something that I've championed for, well, years from them. They just know how to make a good mission. This includes Shadowrun Hong Kong and the Extended Edition, which gives players a whole new campaign to play through that's set right after the main story. There's a lot of content there. If you want to know how this turned out, though, check out my review. It goes live 9 a.m. here on the same channel. If you get a chance, watch it. Also, make sure to check out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Yes, this one's already out on Game Pass, but I wanted to discuss it. We talked about it on the Friday podcast, and we'll talk about future games as well. But a lot of people have been really liking this game. Everybody on the podcast who played it loved it. It is a bit on the shorter side, but it is out currently on Game Pass. So if you get a chance, jump in there, check it out. I mean, you really can't lose very much. Speaking of losing very much, something you may end up doing on the new Assassin's Creed Valhalla DLC, Forgotten Saga. I may have my issues with Assassin's Creed games and Far Cry games, loving some of them, disliking a lot of them, feeling mediocre about most of them, but I gotta say their DLC usually knocks it out of the park. I'm not exactly sure how, at least for the Assassin's Creed games. And Forgotten Saga was announced at the Summer of Gaming event. This is a totally free roguelite inspired game mode for Valhalla. So if you guys watched one of the things I liked about Ragnarok when I talked about it in my review, is how it sort of shook up a lot of the parts of Valhalla that felt to me pretty stodgy and dated, just by essence of where you go and where you travel in the DLC. And the same seems to be true for Forgotten Saga. Here you're traveling to Niflheim, also known as Viking Hell. And the best part about this is Ubisoft's own slogan for this is Defy Death, which makes it seem a little bit like that Viking version of Hades, a replication of just dying and dying and dying and dying again. One thing that I'm looking forward to in this game is that they have a different way for you to basically get rewarded for what you do. You have the option of selecting a prize from available options and different prizes when you defeat major villains and when you get through it. A majority of those also seem to be mythological weapons of some type. So this is going to be cool to see exactly how they play it off. I can't wait to check this out. I think it's very cool. I love the idea of this. And like I said, the strangely high accuracy rate, at least for me, of their DLCs is something that is causing me to be more interested in this DLC for Valhalla than I think I would pretty much most other games that they've made. Speaking of games being made, I want to know what you feel about the end of this year. I've seen multiple articles stating that the end of this year is actually particularly quiet, and the only way I can come to that conclusion is if a person doesn't know how to use search or is only identifying very particular AAA games. There's a unique number of titles coming out. You've got Gotham Knights, you've got Hogwarts, you've got God of War, and you have many others coming out, and it just feels to me like, you know, unless you're not looking, there's a lot to actually be excited about, even in the big sphere. But if you look at Bs and AAs, you look at Indies, you look at Plague Tale, those kind of games, there are an incredible number of titles, many of them with West in the title as well. Hint, hint. And there's not much else to cover in this video. Well, there's a ton else, but I covered most of it in the Friday podcast. We had so much news that the entire podcast was just filled with us talking about all the different things that were announced. Everything from all of the increases, the changes, the DLC for Resident Evil Village and the Resident Evil games overall. There's been so many updates to so many different titles. Make sure to go check them out. There was so much data, whether it be Game Fest, whether it be the two Xbox events, Capcom event, or Ubisoft's little miniature event, as well as Square discussing finally our Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, there was a ton of data this week. It was incredible to see just how much you could sort of pack into 1 week. When they say it's called Not E3, I got to admit, if this is Not E3, I'd like to continue to not have E3 because there was a lot of awesome stuff announced. If you like videos like this, give it a thumbs up. Give it a thumbs down if you don't. I'd like to know what your news of the week was. What did you like? What games are you looking forward to? Because while there are not a lot of free games coming on the various services this week, I think a lot of times that's because during the summer months, it's not necessarily high. And they've sort of filled it up here recently. There are some games coming out, especially in August. And I'm hearing September that are going to be very cool on the Game Pass and the different subscription services. But I want to know what you guys are playing. What'd you play? Did you enjoy Shredder? Did you jump into Dragon's Dogma 1? Are you one part of that 6.5 thousand players? I'd like to know. Are you going to check out Cyberpunk 2077's mod for flying cars? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the moment this video closes, that's where I'm going. You know where you should go? You should go check out the podcast. You should check out my procedural video where I talk about the differences between Starfield, No Man's Sky, and various other games that use procedural generation and have for decades, and how that's going to pan out in the future. Peace out. Hope you have an awesome week.